Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's 8:31. A new study by three MIT scholars has found that false news spreads more rapidly on social media, Twitter, than real news does, and by a substantial margin. This is what they found. They say, we found that falsehood diffuses significantly further, faster, deeper, and more broadly than the truth in all categories of information, and in many cases by an order of magnitude. That's according to Sinan Aral, a professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management and co-author of a new paper detailing the findings. Very concerning, but yet not surprising. William Bird is the director of Media Monitoring Africa. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me on the program.
So I did a study a couple of years ago, which I've mentioned to our listeners, where I took good news versus bad news on Twitter. I wanted to understand, in terms of our own nature, what we talk about more. And what I found was that bad news, we speak about bad news significantly longer and deeper than we do about good news. So the good news dissipates very, very quickly, and then we move on. Bad news tends to get us really, really riled up, emotional, worked up, and so we continue the conversation for longer. Is it the same kind of a concept with false or fake news versus actual news? Why does fake news or false news disseminate so much quicker and deeper?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are some fairly complex psychological issues about why we choose to share bad news very often more than other kinds of news, and I'm not really qualified to speak to those. But if you look at the issue of what happens with false news or mis or disinformation and why that spreads, it's very much linked to what you said at the beginning, which is that it's the kind of stuff that makes you angry, and social media works off heightened emotion. It works off the idea that you need to be on it all the time. It taps into people's anxieties about missing out. It taps into all sorts of things. And so things that then get a greater response, things that make you angry, that make you fearful, or that shock you, are things that are going to get shared a lot more frequently. And if news is done well or properly, it should, it may well shock you, but it shouldn't leave you feeling profoundly fearful or in a way that makes you want to just suddenly jump up and down and go completely crazy. It should be news that gives things context, that allows you to make a calm, rational decision. Whereas, of course, disinformation or false news doesn't do that. What that does is it says, this is what's happening and everything is going to fall apart. Or it implies that, there's bigger conspiracies at play here and things that we don't understand. So that's part of it. The other reason it spreads really quickly. So the first is because it speaks to heightened emotions. The second is because it taps into big and complex issues that require big and complex explanations. And what disinformation is so good at doing is offering us simplistic answers for very big problems. So you'll remember one of the things that Donald Trump was so good at was we talk about we're going to just build a wall to deal with illegal immigration challenges. Right. And it's such a simple-sounding solution, right? And you go, oh, that's great. That's going to solve things. That doesn't solve anything, obviously, right? And part of what mis and disinformation does is it offers you a simple solution. You don't understand the vaccine? Oh, well, that's because it's not been tested. And they're using it to implant chips in us or to control all of the people. Conspiracy theories often a lot easier and more enticing to believe than actually getting to grips with understanding how some of these complex issues work. And so it offers a nice and simplistic way often of dealing with something that is very complex or something that is that instills a lot of fear or anxiety. And so for all of those reasons, it tends to spread a lot faster than something that isn't, because putting out truth, accurate information requires research, it requires a lot of time.
And I suppose it's often a lot less interesting, because sometimes the explanation, as you say, is complex and maybe it's even a little bit dull, whereas fake news and misinformation can really, as you say, be quite bullet point-ish, and it can be much more exciting, and it even can maybe appeal to us in the way in that it's a twist on something that we thought we already knew.
Yeah, exactly, and it does offer that thing that also then, and I guess the third thing which I meant to say is that it taps into stereotypes and issues that always have a grain of truth to them. You know, so it's things that then somehow resonate in us somewhere, and it's a lot easier to take that on board than it is something that, as you say, may actually be quite dull potentially, or not nearly as interesting. You know, saying how do we actually deal with borders and people coming into the country without papers and illegally, etc. Well, you need a whole range of things, and la 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 la. You know, you've lost people after the seventh paragraph because you only started to deal with the first thing. It's a lot easier to just say, these foreigners, they come, they rape our children, they steal our women, we must get rid of them. You know, we must put up a bigger electric fence or shoot them or just kick them out of the country. You know, it's a much easier kind of a response, and it's something that can then resonate with people. And that's, you know, and if you get a story that's based on that, even if it's completely made up, it travels really fast. Think about the Tembisa 10. You know, there's a classic example. Completely made up, it would appear, or largely made up.
Well, which part of it wasn't, that the woman existed, I suppose.
And it spreads all over, you know.
Absolutely.
It spreads so quickly, and it's because it's got those elements of exciting and different.
But I think that's what it is. I think that's because news, if once you're making something up, it can be really just wild and out there. So the Tembisa 10 is a great example of that. We almost want to believe it because, wow, what a great story. So much to it. There's it's the human side of it. Maybe we can get behind it and assist financially, and we can feel good about ourselves and look away from all the other issues that we are facing in this country. So it is a story that is attractive on so many different levels because it diverts us away from maybe a little bit of a mundane existence.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, I mean, the problem with that, of course, is that it undermines trust in,
yes, most
in that
definitely.
Brand in particular, because now you're the next time they break a story like that, you're going to go, well, do I believe it? And it undermines trust in all media. And that's, again, one of the real problems here with these kinds of things. And then, of course, you add to that they link. They don't only use just the fact that it's false or made up or misinformation. They often tie it to stereotypes, to issues that feed a broader kind of agenda. So, if organizations like ours, for example, are funded by Open Society Foundation, we get accused of being part of the Jewish evil mafia kind of thing.
Because what? Of course, you mean you aren't?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously obviously all of us are. You
right,
know,
that's, exactly.
That's part and parcel of the thing. But, you know, it feeds those very negative stereotypes, as well as then pursuing some kind of another agenda to just make it sound far more dramatic. So it becomes very harmful beyond just the fact that it spreads really fast.
Well, I guess it's a way, and we've seen this in all sorts of other ways, of silencing. So if you are part of a group who maybe we don't trust and who's trying to control the world, well, then we can very, very comfortably ignore everything that you are telling us because we've completely othered you in a way.
Yep, completely. I mean, that is a direct aim of those things. I mean, they do it. They use those kinds of negative and offensive and hateful issues to silence and censor directly, often just to crowd out and shut down a view. So if you look at what happened this last weekend, on Sunday, the City Press broke a story about Arthur Fraser having lied about his qualification. The next thing, Pravin Gordhan was trending. And you have to go, why was Pravin Gordhan trending when the guy has not been in the media? And that is a clear example of two things. One, of how those conversations are being manipulated, but it also speaks to exactly your point, which was, you know, because Pravin Gordhan has been attacked so profoundly and rigorously on social media, you'll find that now he's hardly ever in the news. He doesn't want to speak up about things or view things precisely because he knows he's going to get a barrage of hateful things sent in his general direction. And that's not a good thing for anyone. You know, it's just not helpful.
It's a very, very dangerous. It's a very, very dangerous field because it's becoming increasingly difficult to differentiate. A while back, it was much easier to be able to tell what was fake news or false news, because it lacked a certain sophistication, the grammar and spelling being some of them. Mm. But it is becoming increasingly difficult. What do we do about that as a consumer of news?
Yeah, it is crazy. But also because if you look at South Africa, things happen on a daily basis that you know, beggar belief. It's not like we're not living in a completely crazy existence on a daily basis where things happen and you go, no, that can't be true. Did someone really take that amount of money just for that or for that? It's like things occur, and so that also provides very fertile feeding ground for those that are spreading mis- and disinformation. So the first thing is you've got to listen, encourage the public to listen to credible media. They need to listen to people that they know, they've gone, they've done the research, the standards that they adhere to. So all of our broadcasters, for example, you can't just go along and make that stuff up because they'll take your license away. So there's a particular consequence for you, which is just say, okay, great, we're going to just start broadcasting whatever we like. We're going to just make up the news because it's a lot easier. But you won't be able to because they'll take your license away. So that's why it's important to go and trust and listen to trusted, credible media and make sure that you have a few of those sources and, you know, try and pick them from diverse kind of political points of departure so that you make sure that you're getting something that's going to give you a fairly nice, rounded perspective on whatever the issues are that are going on. Because you can see already around Ukraine and Russia, issues there.
Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of stuff coming out, you know. So there you want to go immediately to any of your trusted, credible media that either have people there or they've got a record of not making stuff up. And then, if you see dodgy things, you can report them to Real 411, and then you can know that something will be done about it. So I think part of it's about just alerting yourself. If you get something dodgy and if you get something that makes you feel angry or anxious, just have a cup of tea before you decide
and
to
also,
share it.
And also block your aunt. No good comes out of her WhatsApps. I can tell you, block your aunt. William Bird, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, chatting to us about why fake news spreads faster than true news. I'd love your reaction, please, on 34519 or 0618951019. Carol Z says, because it's juicier and bloodier, and if it bleeds, it leads. It is absolutely right. 8:45, good morning.